Congressman Mike Boss is on the other end of the line. Morning, Mike. How are you, pal?
Good morning, Tom. I'm great.
Boy.
I'm actually ready to let's get started on the work this week. And, you know, they had the festivities of the weekend. Let me tell you, it's wonderful for people to come out and do that if they can. But let me tell you, it is a hectic time.
I have no doubt in my mind. Of course, that's part of the argument in the national media is the number of people who attended the inauguration. But
it was unbelievable.
But I got to tell you, Mike, it's not the number; it's the behavior that has left me in quite frankly a little bit of a we'll call it a tizzy. In particular, I think what brought it home was seeing students abused from my home area. I think that brought it home for me to a different level.
Yeah, let me say that I'm going to make comments of that on either a 1 minute or a 5 minute speech on the floor this week. Tom, look, this peaceful transition of power. I have not been happy with every election that's ever occurred in my life. But to do some of the things, and the sad thing is many of these protesters didn't even know why they were protesting or what they were protesting to try to change. And the thing, I guess, that bothers me, besides the fact that the school, that the bus was attacked, and they were here to do, it was what an honor to be in the parade, to do what, you know, to be involved. But when you see the vulgar statements that were on signs around children. And I guess I was bothered by the mothers and fathers that actually took their children to this, and some of them were actually carrying signs and encouraging their children to scream those same obscenities. It's sad. But let me tell you that there's others that were protesting very properly.
Right.
So...
And so, there's a spectrum there. As I get older, I stop being a little less black and white in some occasions, and seeing there's a spectrum. I understand the right to get together, protest, as you and I both know very clearly. But of course, when it comes to kids and what we've seen in setting limos on fire and other, and smashing out windows in department stores, another question altogether.
I think the thing that was really wild is. The damage was done. The two things that were reported the most were damage that was done probably with both a business and a person who actually probably supported their cause. When Larry King's car was destroyed, Larry probably leaned more towards their view. Yeah. Starbucks and their history, obviously, you know, more of a more liberal view from their standpoint. But it's amazing. Those were the buildings that were smashed and the car that was destroyed.
Mike, the first 100 days is often of a presidency judge, you know, sets a tone. You see the direction it's going. There's so much of this was, of course, so far out front during the campaign itself when it comes to what I'm going to do as president. Now this 100 days. Now, when I was reading Congressman Shimkus's newsletter that was issued yesterday, talking about the move to Obamacare, one thing or move away, it's almost like you have to disassemble this a piece at a time.
Right. There's three different areas that you need to go to. Now, what was really wild is the opposing side that just is in opposition told everything that bill we did the other day did, and it did none of that. Basically, what we did the other day was we passed a vehicle that will drive what's known as reconciliation, which will allow the opportunity for people in a calm, sensible manner to sit down and reconcile out things that they can do only if it will pass the what's known as the Byrd rule in the Senate, which is means it deals strictly with budgetary items. So the fees and the taxes that go along with it, and you can adjust and change those. You can also change certain rules by that as long as they meet that requirement. So we'll move forward with that. Then with the appointment of Tom Price, then Tom Price will move forward with the existing ADA, Affordable Care Act, ACA, and move forward. And then there are powers given to the secretary in that act that then he can change probably more than any law that we had. And then when finally said and done, the final passages of certain items, specifically like going, being able to pool across state lines, some other things that can't be done in either of those, will then be moved out of the House fairly quickly and to the Senate, where the Senate will then be able to work on this, and then it will be up to the president himself to convince enough senators on the Democrat side of the aisle to join forces to move forward with the the last week. And let me tell you that the story of people losing their health care is not true. The story of, matter of fact, we want to make it affordable because right now, matter of fact, the three top counties in my district, they were going to see a 71% increase and only have one provider. That's not what we want. We want the ability to allow for a free and open competition so that the prices will come down, that you truly can keep your doctor, and that you truly can shop for the best possible insurance and actually shop for the needs that you have, not all of a sudden be forced to take coverages that are not necessary.
It's interesting because when you look at the plans, you've got the Republican Study Committee's American Healthcare Reform Act, and then you've got the House Republicans' Better Way agenda, supposedly 45 specific ideas to make health insurance more accessible. And once again, going back to Congressman Shimkus in his newsletter saying, by far the biggest concern I've heard from folks is about pre-existing conditions. The reality is that every serious Republican plan to replace Obamacare ensures you cannot be denied coverage because you have a pre-existing condition, period.
Exactly.
That's him. He says, period. There's no plan to do it, which reference, of course, what you were just talking about.
Right. And that's where, you know, this false news. You know, the sad thing is we can look on that House floor, and I was, the bad thing also was I was sitting in the chair when it was happening, and I listened to people who are just in they're wanting to protect it because it's Obamacare. They don't want to admit it fails, so they do it by telling you half truths and whole lies, and they're actually doing it from the congressional floor. If I hadn't studied and read and understood, and listening to them, it's like, really? Come on, guys, don't do this to the American people. Don't scare them when we know we're trying to get things right that are not right now.
I think we're all going to have to get a lot thicker skin when it comes to political rhetoric over the next 4 years. There's no doubt in my mind that we're all going to have to start doing more research when it gets right down to it. Donald Trump yesterday said he's ready to renegotiate the North American Free Trade Agreement. Mexican Foreign Minister 2 weeks ago says, we can't wait. Let's get it done now. We can't take what's happening with the peso here.
Right.
You know, you've got, of course, I haven't heard what Canada's thoughts are on this. And then, of course, you've got yesterday Conway talking on the Sunday morning program, no longer enforcing the individual mandate for Obamacare. You've got
right.
the issue of the wall. You've got the issue of the national debt. You've got the issue of whether we're going to move from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem for a U.S. embassy.
Right. And you've got the issue of when he's talking about investing in infrastructure. And we're looking forward to that in my committee, transportation infrastructure. We're interested to see what he's going to come up with there. And, you know, we've got to work with our military to strengthen that military in a wise manner, not just throwing money at it, but in a wise manner. And we stepped forward with some things the other day that need to be done. We did. That was done before he signed into law, but it was before he even got into office. And that was a bill that actually increased the pay for our military.
Well, there's some big issues there. Not a lot of people talking about this, but for the first time since World War II, Norway accepting U.S. troops, U.S. Marines, I think around 230, there's a Cold War going on, and it's not just about hacking.
Right, right. There is, and I was glad to see that the president walked in to the FBI and all the people in our intelligence area and praise them the other day. You hear the rhetoric and you hear it out there about and the concerns he has, but let me tell you, the rank and file members, I'm pretty sure the way it sounded, are supporting him. But we need to make sure that we are in a Cold War. And the way you deal with a Cold War is the way you dealt with the way that Reagan dealt with it, and that is look them in the eye, tell them what you're going to do, convince them that you're a strong personality and a strong force to be reckoned with, and if you give a red line, make sure that they cross it you say you're done, and you react.
But, Mike, after what the Russians have learned about us in relationship to their push into the Ukraine, we'll have to reestablish those tendencies, won't we?
Yeah, we do. We do. And yeah. I don't know at what speed you can reestablish it, but, you know,
It'll be interesting.
It'll be interesting to watch how this president actually handles those issues.
Yeah, it'll be a process. Mike, before I let you go, just these last few seconds, the inauguration, what's coming on in the coming days. Give me an idea what immediately you see coming to your desk, coming to the House floor, seeing the quickest movement. Okay. What do you see right now?
One thing is we're waiting for Tom Price. As soon as Tom Price is in, then he's got. See, we couldn't communicate with Tom Price because he is up for nomination, so he can't talk to us about anything. And then once he is approved, then he will come back with us. That will be where we work on the Obamacare stuff and get started in that direction. The other thing, we're putting together a timeline, and let me tell you how we're doing that. Later on this week, the House Republicans, along with the Senate Republicans, and actually the President and Vice President will be there to visit with us as well. We're moving for 3 days off to Philadelphia for a planning retreat. We do these each year, both Republicans and Democrats, where Democrats go one way under 1 week, we go another way in 1 week, or half a week. At that location, we will then lay down the guidelines of a checklist of how fast, what we can do, so that the actual plan of timeline of what we can get done and how fast we can get it done. And that's a whole lot of depending on talking with staff and the speaker and everything like that to know those long-term rules that are in place that the speaker knows so well.